8 years ago, at lunchtime, this planet had been demolished, utterly destroyed, by the huge yellow Vogon ships which had hung in the lunchtime sky as if the law of gravity was no more than a local regulation and breaking it no more than a parking offence.
"Delusions," said Russell.
"What?" said Arthur, started out of his train of thought.
"She says she suffers from strange delusions that she's living in the real world. It's no good telling her that she is living in the real world, because she just says that's why the delusions are so strange. Don't know about you, but I find that kind of conversation pretty exhausting. Give her the tablets and piss off for a beer is my answer. I mean, you can only muck about so much, can't you?"
Arthur frowned, not for the first time.
"Well, and all this dreams and nightmare stuff, and the doctor's going on about strange jumps in her brainwave patterns."
"Jumps?" "This," said Fenny. Arthur whirled round in his seat and stared into her suddenly open but utterly vacant eyes. Whatever she was looking at wasn't in the car. Her eyes fluttered, her head jerked once, and then she was sleeping peacefully. "What did she say?" he asked anxiously.
"She said this."
"This what?"
"This what? How the heck should I know? This hedgehog, that chimney pot, the other pair of Don Alfonso's tweezers. She's barking mad. I thought I'd mention that."
"You don't seem to care very much." Arthur tried to say it as matter-of-factly as possible, but it didn't seem to work.
"Look, Buster."
"OK, I'm sorry. It's none of my business." "I didn't mean it to sound like that," said Arthur. "I know you care a lot, obviously," he added, lying. "I know that you have to deal with it somehow. You'll have to excuse me. I just hitched from the other side of the Horsehead Nebula." He stared furiously out of the window. He was astonished that of all the sensations fighting for room in his head on this night as he returned to the home that he thought had vanished into oblivion forever, the one that was compelling him was an obsession with this bizarre girl of whom he knew nothing other than that she had said this to him, and that he wouldn't wish her brother on a Vogon.
So, what were the jumps, these jumps you mentioned?" he went on to say as quickly as he could. "Look, this is my sister. I don't even know why I'm talking to you about..."
"Okay, I'm sorry. Perhaps you'd better let me out. This is..." At the moment he said it, it became impossible, because the storm which had passed them by suddenly erupted again. Lightning belted through the sky, and someone seemed to be pouring something which closely resembled the Atlantic Ocean over them through a sieve. Russell swore and stared intently for a few seconds as the sky blattered at them. He worked out his anger by rashly accelerating to pass a lorry marked McKenna's All-Weather Haulage. The tension eased as the rain subsided.
"It started with all that business of the CIA agent they found in the reservoir when everybody had all the hallucinations and everything, you remember?"
Arthur wondered for a moment whether to mention again that he had just hitchhiked back from the other side of the Horsehead Nebula and was, for this and various other related and astounding reasons, a little out of touch with recent events, but he decided it would only confuse matters further.
"No," he said. "That was the moment she cracked up. She was in a cafe somewhere, Rickmansworth. Don't know what she was doing there, but that was where she cracked up. Apparently she stood up, calmly announced that she had undergone some extraordinary revelation or something, wobbled a bit, looked confused, and finally collapsed, screaming, into an egg sandwich."
Arthur winced. "I'm very sorry to hear that," he said a little stiffly. Russell made a sort of grumping noise.
"So what," said Arthur, in an attempt to piece things together, "was the CIA agent doing in the reservoir?" "Bobbing up and down, of course. He was dead."
"But what..."
"Come on, you remember all that stuff, the hallucinations. Everyone said it was the CIA experimenting with drug warfare or something. Some crackpot theory that instead of invading a country, it would be much cheaper and more effective to make everyone think they'd been invaded."
"What hallucinations were those, exactly?" said Arthur in a rather quiet voice.
"What do you mean, what hallucinations? I'm talking about all that stuff with the big yellow ships, everyone going crazy and saying we're going to die, and then, pop, they vanished as the effect wore off. The CIA denied it, which meant it must be true."
Arthur's head went a little swimmy. His hand grabbed at something to steady himself and gripped it tightly. His mouth made little opening and closing movements, as if it was on his mind to say something, but nothing emerged.
"Anyway," continued Russell, "whatever drug it was didn't seem to wear off so fast with Fenny. I was all for suing the CIA, but a lawyer friend of mine said it would be like trying to attack a lunatic asylum with a banana, so..." He shrugged.
"The Vogon," squeaked Arthur. "The yellow ships. Vanished?"
"Well, of course they did. They were hallucinations," said Russell, and looked at Arthur oddly. "You trying to say you don't remember any of this? Where have you been, for heaven's sake?"
This was, to Arthur, such an astonishingly good question that he half leapt out of his seat with shock.
"Christ!" yelled Russell, fighting to control the car, which was suddenly trying to skid.
He pulled it out of the path of an oncoming lorry and swerved up onto a grass bank. As the car lurched to a halt, the girl in the back was thrown against Russell's seat and collapsed awkwardly. Arthur twisted round in horror.
"Is she all right?" he blurted out.
Russell swept his hands angrily back through his blow-dried hair. He tugged at his blonde moustache. He turned to Arthur.
"Would you please," he said, "let go of the handbrake?"